Returning tonight in the Word of God to the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Genesis in chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're looking tonight at the subject of God's grace in man's fall. God's grace in man's fall. We're going to read together from the verse number 6 of this chapter, Genesis chapter 3, and the verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shoot not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Behold, thou hast done this. Thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 15, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. Let's just come again to the Lord in the attitude of prayer, and let's ask for his help as we come to his word this evening. Our eternal God and our Father, we thank thee already tonight for a sense of thy presence. We thank the Lord for help given to the girls as they've come and ministered to us in song. We thank the Lord for those pieces and Lord for the gifts and the talents that thou hast given to them and how they're using those talents in the service of the Master. Encourage them, be with them, and bless them. And Lord, we pray now that as we come to the Word of God for this evening, we ask, O God, that this night we might hear the voice of God. Lord, even as Adam and Eve heard that voice speaking all those years ago, we ask, O God, that this night we might hear that same voice. O God, we pray that this night sinners will hear the voice of God. Lord, that they will experience the effectual call of God to salvation. Lord, that this night they'll be done with their sin. Lord, that this night they will stop running and hiding from sin, but Lord, that this night they will run to Jesus Christ and be saved. We thank thee, O God, for the grace of God. We thank the Lord that even in the midst of man's sin, evil, and wickedness, we still see God's grace abounding. O God, we pray that this night grace will abound to sinners. Grace will come, reach the lost, and save them. O God, we pray that you'll give us help now to preach, rightly divide the Scriptures. And our Father, we pray that through it all, the name of our lovely Savior would be magnified and glorified. For we pray this in thy name and for thine honour and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day evening, we were considering the subject of man's only mediator. And we were seeing how that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men. That he alone is our means of access and acceptance before God. And as we looked at that subject, you may remember that we noticed how that in order for the Lord to be our mediator, he had to become man. He had to leave the splendor of heaven and come in to this world and take human nature into union with his blessed deity. But you see, even in that, there was no compulsion on God to send his Son into this world. The Son of God did not have to come and die on a cross. And yet the very fact that he did come, The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven and came into this wretched old world to die for us is all on the basis and on the merits of the grace of God. You see, the grace of God tonight, folks, is a theme that's running throughout all of Scripture. And here tonight, especially, as we come to these verses that we want to consider by the help of God this evening, in Genesis chapter 3, familiar verses, I'm sure, to many and to all. In these verses, while we see man at his worst, yet we still see the grace of God abounding. Because it is in this chapter that we see the tremendous contrast between the sinful acts of man and the gracious act of God. It is in this chapter that we're brought before man's fall into sin. Verse 6, that opening verse that we read together, is a pivotal verse in this whole story. Because it's here in this verse, Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 6, that we see the problem that has plagued and characterized humanity right until this very moment. It's that problem of sin. It's that problem of rebellion. It's that problem of rejection. Why tonight is this world in the mess that it's in? Why is tonight humanity in the state that it is in? Why are lives being destroyed? Why are lives being wrecked? Why are homes being ruined by sin? Why are communities being torn apart? It all can be traced back here to Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 6. Man's fall into sin. That perfect, pristine condition to which man was made was affected and contaminated, now lost, as a result of that fall that we read of there in verse number 6. And tonight, all those years later, we still, this evening, are living with the consequences of verse number 6. And yet tonight as well, in the midst of this awful calamity and rebellion, in the midst of the darkness and the wickedness of man, we still see the grace of God. Man could have been left the way he was. The end of verse 6. The whole story of humanity could end right at Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 6. But God chose to send his Son into this world to redeem sinners and to redeem those out of the darkness of their sin and bring them to God. But even in the midst of all the sin that there was evident in this chapter, yet, praise God, there is still the grace of God. Because God planned a way. God prepared a way that he might redeem sinners to himself. You see, we must not fall into the trap of thinking that the events that are recorded for us there in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 6 somehow took God by surprise. That somehow God had to go back to the drawing board and start all over again and work out a different plan and work out some new plan. But thank God, from eternity past, he had already planned a way of redemption. From before time began, God planned a way that we might be saved. Peter, speaking of Christ, speaking of him as being the Redeemer, says that he was foreordained from before the foundation of the world. You see, man's fall into sin did not cause confusion in the mind of God, but rather, through grace and mercy, God had already planned a way that we might be saved. What a merciful God. What a gracious God we have tonight. And we see that grace displayed in its greatest splendor here in Genesis chapter 3. In the dealings with God now, right after, in the dealings of God with man, right after he had fallen into sin. We do not find the word grace mentioned here in this chapter. It's a few chapters over. where we find the actual word grace mentioned. Yet grace is most certainly on display here in this chapter. And so I want to notice with you some very simple things as we look at this subject of God's grace. How do we see the grace of God in display and action here in these verses? Well, the first way that we see the grace of God here in man's fall is, first of all, the call of God. The call of God. You read there in verse number 8, it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. You see, Adam and Eve in the garden, before they had fallen, had perfect communion with God. They had a perfect relationship with Him, but now that communion, now that fellowship was broken. That fellowship was affected because of their sin. But yet, in the midst of their sin, the Lord came and the Lord called them. What mercy. What grace. God could have turned His back on Adam. God could have turned His back and left Adam the way he was and have allowed Adam to rot and ruin and sin and the rest of humanity. But God in grace came and called Adam. They heard His voice. If you notice, there in that verse it says that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. A voice walking. Now a voice doesn't walk. And it would suggest to us, I believe, that they saw the Lord in bodily form. They heard the voice of God through the Word of God who would be made flesh. The eternal Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stood with them, spoke with them there in that garden. He came to them and He showed Himself and He spoke. There in the garden. Immediately after the most awful events of verse number 6, and man turning his back on God, man rejecting the call of the command of God and the Word of God, yet God shows to man the Redeemer. God stood with them, God spoke with them, and they heard the voice of God. We see that as well in verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Adam's a sinner. But still the Lord came and called him. The Lord spoke to him. You see, to hear God speaking to us is a demonstration of His grace. In fact, the very fact that God does speak to us and does speak to sinful man is on the basis of His grace. You see, folks, there in the Garden of Eden, God could have spoken that word of judgment and that word of condemnation and could have cut Adam off, damned him for all eternity in a lost hell. He could have spoken that word of judgment and thrown this world into utter darkness. And He would have been absolutely just and right in doing such a thing. But in grace, in love, in mercy, He spoke to the sinner. Sinner tonight, in this meeting, God long ago could have spoken that word of judgment to you. You have lived for many years without Jesus Christ, without being saved. And what Adam did in the garden all those years ago, you're still doing tonight, rejecting God, turning your back on God, thinking you know better than God. Thinking that you can make yourself a God and make yourself right with God. And for all of these years, you've wasted your life rejecting God. For all of you, those years, you've heard the voice of God, you've heard the call of God, you've wasted many opportunities to get right with God. And long ago, God could have spoken that word of judgment and damnation to you and cut you off. The very fact, sinner, that you're here tonight in this gospel meeting is on the grace and on the goodness of God. God could have turned his back on you many, many years ago. God could have stopped calling with you and speaking with you all those years ago and could have cut you off and cast you out into his great eternity. You could have been lost. Tonight, sinner, do you realize that you could be in hell? And the only reason you're not is but for the grace of God. And yet here you are tonight. Here you are with another opportunity to get right with God, and here you are tonight with the great privilege of hearing the voice of God speaking to you out of his word. And what a privilege you have. Can I implore you tonight, don't waste that privilege. You think about those times when you were under deep conviction of sin. You think about those times when the weight and the burden of your sin weighed heavy upon you. And God came and God spoke to you. God convicted you. But what did you do? You turned your back on him. Those times you were trembling in the presence of God, even as Adam and Eve were, as is recorded for us in these verses. They were afraid. Those times when you trembled under the weight of your sin and you feared that you would die and be lost in all for all eternity in hell. And yet tonight you're still not saved. You're still not right with God. God has been speaking to you. God has been calling to you tonight to be saved, to come leave your sin and get right with him. And yet you think you'll have another opportunity. You think you'll come back next Lord's Day evening and you'll hear the gospel again and the Lord will call to you again. But be warned tonight. Be warned tonight, even as we read a few chapters over where the Lord says, "My spirit shall not always strive." And there will come a time, we do not know when, we do not know where, that God will cease to call to you. What if it were tonight? What if it were this night? You walk out the doors of this church tonight, the same way as you came in, still under the condemnation of God, still with the judgment of God. Where then? If this were to be the last time God were to call to you. We've been confronted over these past number of weeks and months with people suddenly cut off. Suddenly called out into God's great eternity. And you know what the devil's telling you tonight? It'll not happen to you. Not happen to you. You'll not be cut off suddenly. You'll have an opportunity to get right with God, perhaps on your deathbed, and you'll be able to call for the minister then and put things right just before you pass out into eternity. There were two thieves on the cross with Christ that day at Calvary. One was saved, but only one had a deathbed repentance. And as you read through the scriptures, and as I read through the scriptures, there are not many deathbed repentances. This is your opportunity tonight. This is the time that you need to get right with God, not when you're dying. Because, my friend, you could die at any time, any moment. God is calling to you. And this could be the last time. God speaks. The hymn writer says, "O sinner, thine ears have been deaf to his voice, and thine eyes to his glory been dim. The call of thy Saviour have so wearied thee. Oh, what if they should weary him?" What if tonight were to be the last night? The last night you were to hear the call of God. I'm honest with you tonight, I fear as to what I'm going to say at some of your funerals. Listen tonight, while God in mercy is calling, be saved. The grace of God is abounding toward you tonight. Therefore, don't reject it and don't turn your back from it. Don't be like Adam and try to run again. Verse 8, it says that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And tonight, sinner, you're running here and you're hiding under this and you're hiding under that. Sinner, tonight you need to run to Christ and be saved. There's the call of God. But there's not only the call of God here, we also see a further demonstration of the grace of God in this chapter. Not only the call of God, but also the challenge from God. Because God came and God called Adam in his sin. That's grace, but that's grace added to grace. God calling and then God challenging. Because you see, God was confronting Adam about the way he was living. We've already noticed their folly there in verse 8. They thought they could run from God. They thought they could hide themselves from God. They thought their own covering would be enough. They heard the voice of God, but they hid from God. They ran from God rather than running to God. They ran from him and sought to hide themselves away. And sinner, tonight you're doing the exact same. You're running from God and you're hiding under every excuse. That's the blindness and that's the waywardness of sin. Rather than being brought to God, you see, sin causes the sinner to run. But thank God, grace causes the sinner to come. Sinner, tonight, God is calling and God is challenging you. Run to him. He's challenging you about how you're living. Notice the question that is asked there in verse number 9. Because Adam's running from God here. But he couldn't run from the eye, all-seeing eye of God, because God searched him out. God spoke directly, personally, and powerfully to him. And look what he asked at the end of verse number 9. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? That question must have rang through all of Eden. That question must have searched and pierced Adam's heart like no other question. God's first question to the first sinner, where art thou? And even in that, we see the grace of God. Marvelous grace of God on display, because God was challenging Adam about his sin. He was seeking Adam to get Adam to own up, to confront him about his sin. You see, God didn't ask this question for information purposes. It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. It wasn't that God didn't know how Adam stood before him. God didn't ask this question so that he could be furnished with a better understanding and a better acknowledgement of Adam's situation. He wasn't looking for information. God was looking for confession. God is looking, desiring you tonight to confess your sin. To acknowledge that you're not right before him. To acknowledge that you've broken the law of God. You've turned your back on God. God was confronting Adam here, challenging him and convicting him of a sin. Adam, own up to what you've done. Be a man and own up to the fact that you've broken the law of God. Don't hide. But rather be honest about your sin. This society today, people are hiding from their sin and they're hiding under every possible excuse. Hiding under their own righteousness, hiding under their own upbringing, hiding under their own good living. Tonight, what are you hiding under? What excuse are you making? Because there's a litany of excuses there in those next few verses. We won't take time to look at it. Oh, it was the woman. And it was the serpent. It was everybody, but it wasn't me. Listen. We can point the finger at everybody else, but God tonight is pointing the finger at you. Where art thou? It's a personal question. It's not about the person beside you. Not a person round the street from you. Where do you stand tonight before God? You see, tonight there is no hiding place from God. You might try to hide your sinful lifestyle from all of us, and you tonight might be doing a good job of it. But God comes tonight and asks you this question personally: where do you stand before Him? How do you stand before Him? Sinner tonight, where art thou? Sinner tonight, you're under the wrath and the condemnation of God. This night, this very minute, the wrath of God abides in your head. This very night, you are but a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. You're but one breath away from hell. Therefore, tonight, you need to confess your sin. Therefore, tonight, you need to own up to your sin. There needs to be honesty here before God. Because if you die the way you are, then you are lost. And as we have said in the past, you go out into God's eternity rejecting Him. You die as you have lived, rejecting the voice of God and the call of God and the challenge to God. The last words you'll hear from the lips of Almighty God on that day: depart. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. That's not the words of this preacher. That's the words of God recorded for us in the Gospels. God forbid. God forbid that anyone in this meeting tonight should go into eternity and the last word you hear from God: depart. Tonight the Savior stands and He calls you to come. Tonight the Savior stands here with arms wide open, and He invites you to come and be saved. Don't turn your back upon it. Tonight God is calling you to repent. God is showing grace to you tonight. There was a powerful question in this challenge, but there was also a personal Savior in this challenge, because after having challenged Adam and Eve about their sin and laying out the consequences of their sin, He then goes on in verse number 15 and He promises a Savior from their sin. We've mentioned this verse in the past. It's the first gospel promise in all of Scripture. After the first question to the first sinner, now there's the first promise of the Redeemer from sin. After denouncing and damning the serpent there in verse 14, there's now a door of grace and a promise of redemption for us in verse 15. The wound had been inflicted because of sin, but praise God, now in verse 15, the remedy was invoked. Verse 15 speaks of Christ. Christ was the seed of the woman. That's His incarnation, His coming into the world. See His grace there, as we've mentioned. God sending His Son into this world to be our Savior. Verse 15 also speaks about the bruising. That speaks of His crucifixion, the suffering, the pain, the agony. But the verse also speaks about exaltation, because on the cross there would be victory over Satan. His head would be bruised. Thank God at Calvary. Thank God at the cross, the dominion and the power of sin and Satan was bruised fatally and forever. Sin was conquered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the promise of it all in Genesis 3:15. Here's the grace of God. God promising to send a Savior. God promising to send a Redeemer. And tonight, sinner, in this meeting, there is only one who can save you from sin. There is only one who can make you right before God. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you tonight to come and be saved and be a Free Presbyterian. Because this church that I love with all my heart cannot save your soul. You can come through the doors of this church week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, and yet go to hell. This church is not going to save you. It's only the Christ who was promised there in Genesis 3:15 that can save your soul. The call of God, the challenge of God, we see the grace of God. But finally, one further demonstration of the grace of God here in this chapter is now the covering provided by God. Come with me to the words of verse 21. Genesis 3 and the verse 21, and on to Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Here was the covering provided by God. Notice it was a divine covering. God made it. God gave it to them. Salvation is all of grace and it's all of God. Adam and Eve, as we read in verse number 7, they made their own covering. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They thought the efforts of their own hands could save them. They thought the efforts of their own hands could provide for them the sufficient and the necessary covering from the sin that they had committed. But the efforts of our hands will never be enough to make us right before a holy God. You can never and will never work your way to heaven. Only way to heaven is through that way that God has provided. It's a divine way. He provided the necessary covering because man's efforts were not enough. It's not only a divine covering, but notice as we close here, there is the death in this covering. Let's read verse 21 again. And unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Coats of skins. You see, for this covering provided by God, there had to be death. Blood had to be shed. There in that place of paradise, blood was shed for the very first time as the animal was taken and put to death in the place of Adam and Eve. The covering of the sacrifice was made to them. It was given to them. The covering of the sacrifice became their covering. There was death in the covering. The Lord Jesus Christ is depicted for us there in the most beautiful way in verse 21. Because Christ is our sacrifice tonight. His blood had to be shed so that our sins could be covered and cleansed. What does the Bible say? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no covering. Christ had to die. There was no other way but Calvary. Some people will tell us today that Calvary was one of the options available to God. That there were many different things that God could have done in order to redeem his soul. I don't believe that for one minute. There was only one way, and that was the way of the cross. Calvary was God's only way of redemption. Death was entailed in it. In order for your sin and mine to be cleansed and washed, Lord Jesus Christ had to shed his precious blood. He had to die. People talk today about the grace of God. Where is God in this world? What's God doing in this world? There's not much of the grace of God evident today, is there? My friend, there is. Every minute of every day, God is gracious. And that grace comes from that place called Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ died and gave his life. Christ's covering, his righteousness, is then made over to us in salvation. Tonight, are you trying to cover yourself and cleanse and wash yourself in your own efforts and your own works? Trying to work your way to heaven? It'll never work. God's salvation is all of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. As we close tonight, let me ask you a question. Are your sins covered? Are your sins cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Is your guilt removed? Have you experienced the grace of God in salvation? Well, thank God tonight if not. Thank God tonight that where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And while sin is abounding in this whole world tonight, grace is still much more abounding. Is sin abounding in your life? You still held captive to the power and the dominion and control of sin? Well, the message of the gospel tonight is that the grace of God can save you and reach you, make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Grace was evidenced in the garden. Grace was experienced in the garden. And God is still gracious tonight. And God's grace can still be experienced by all those who will confess their sin, leave their sin, and come to Jesus Christ for that covering and that cleansing. Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you ready? As the voice of God is speaking to you tonight, don't reject it. Don't rebel. Rather, tonight come and be saved and experience God's grace for yourself.